All right, y'all, welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. This is episode 63. Of course, I'm Combo Breaker 99. All right, y'all, back with another episode, another good weekend of fights. You know, I had this week off, so I had a chance to just kind of chill out, enjoy this weekend of combat sports. You know, we had some boxing. Friday, we have Bellator, good solid fights, explosive fights. And, of course, we had some controversial decisions. You know, I want to talk about the term robbery again. You know, a lot of people throw that term out there when they feel like the fighter they wanted to win didn't win, and they throw that term out there, you know, which I'm more so talking about the Charlo Castaño fight with that one. But yeah, I want to talk about this past weekend of fights, you know, what I thought of everything, you know, as far as my different angles, you know, Velasquez versus Kiel Holtz, Charlo versus Castaño. I'll give you my quick pick on that. I'll probably have to talk about it in a separate video, though. Amanda Lemos, you know, how much of a threat she is to 115. Whaley versus Joanna, you know, the rematch, what I want to see different, and should this fight happen? You know, I want to talk about that a little bit. And it's fight week. You know, it's fight week, and I really want to focus on Miranda Maverick versus Macy Barber in this episode. So, not going to be a long, long episode here. I just want to kind of give you my take on everything that went down this weekend. Starting with the Bellator 262 card, you know, the championship fight, you know, it was everything I thought it was going to be, you know, a very explosive fight. It was 50-50, very competitive. And, well, before I talk about that, real quick, Diana Askarova versus Gabriella Golovin. That fight was closer than I thought it was going to be. You know, I thought Askarova was going to go in there and dictate the pace in this fight, but Golovin actually held her own. It actually could have went either way, in my opinion. You know, Askarova, she won a close decision. But Golovin, you know, she held her own. She kept the center of the octagon. You know, she was coming through with good pressure, good kicks to the body. And, you know, she was landing some very good strikes. It's mostly a stand-up fight. Diana Askarova just seemed a little bit off. You know, she was really tentative as far as, like, letting her hands go. She was really right-hand dependent in this fight. And, yeah, she almost lost this fight, in my opinion. You know, I think it could have gone either way. You know, Golovin definitely showcased some very good, you know, very good argument for her to win this fight. You know, some people told me they feel like Golovin won. But, you know, Diana Askarova, she definitely has a lot more work to do as far as, you know, showcasing well-roundedness. You can't just depend on power in a fight or depend on the right hand. You got to mix it up. You know, I wanted to see more leg kicks from her and more body kicks, but she was mostly just circling and trying to land those right hands, you know. But, yeah, still a lot to go for her. You know, she's only, what, 4-0 now. And Askarova's, what, Askarova's 4-0. And Golovin is now 2-3. So, you know, there's room for improvement for both fighters. You know, both fighters can grow. Arlene Blinko, shout out to Arlene Blinko. You know, she put on a very, very solid performance against Diana Silva. You know, good boxing, good kickboxing all around, and just simply breaking Silva down. You know, landing the better punches, you know, fighting well at a range, keeping great space, and landing the better punches. You know, beautiful left hook, right hand combination that put Diana Silva out of there, you know, in the third round. I thought it was going to be a decision win for Arlene Blinko, but she came through and, you know, dismantled Silva, you know, the taller, longer fighter here. From here, she wants the title shot. We'll see about that as far as, you know, my thoughts. I mean, does she deserve it? I mean, if she gets it, fine. I'd like to see her in there with somebody like Julia Budd or Kat Zingano, just, you know, just to kind of build it up a little bit more. But, you know, Irene Blanco, she definitely showcased a good skill set. Good skill set on why she is one of the elite in the featherweights, you know, under Chris Cyborg. But, yeah, man, the main event, flyweight champion Juliana Velasquez versus Denise Kiel Holtz. Good fight. All around pretty much went the way I felt it was going to go. You know, I said it was 50-50. And I do believe that Denise Kiel Holtz is on the level of Velasquez. You know, Velasquez felt like she wasn't title shot worthy, but she kind of had to eat those words, man. She kind of had to eat those words because Kiel Holtz gave Velasquez just about everything she could handle in this fight. And I think that, you know, it's pretty much like I said, it was going to be, you know, nobody was going to get stopped. It was going to be a decision either way because style-wise, I think when you put these two together, they kind of nullify each other. You know, Kiel Holtz was going to get the respect of Velasquez, you know, because, you know, she's more of a counterpuncher and wants to stay on the outside and wants to avoid getting hit hard, you know, with these hard power shots. And, You know, same goes for Kyoho. She doesn't want to step into anything crazy, but she's going to take that chance because that's the type of fighter Kyoho is. She did take some chances in there. But yeah, the fight, of course, you know, a lot of people on social media, you know, everywhere I've been looking, you know, post-fight press conference comments on YouTube, you know, on Denise Kjelholz's IG, Velasquez's IG. Everybody feels like Denise Kjelholz was robbed. You know, everybody feels like Denise Kjelholz was robbed in this fight. And my thing is, look, robbery, of course, that's whenever a fighter, they work hard for a fight. They win every single round just about, or they dominate and they get it taken away from them. And they get it taken away from him, and it's pretty obvious. But in my opinion, you know, I think robbery wasn't the term to use for this fight. Now, who do I think won the fight? I watched it two times now. Who do I think won the fight? I've done two reactions. Denise Kjelholz won the fight. I do believe Denise Kjelholz did enough to win the fight both times. First time, it looked pretty close in my eyes. But the second time I watched it, I think her work rate was better. You know, and I think she did make minor adjustments in the fourth and fifth round by making Velasquez's work rate go down, by taking away her jab and just making her move around the octagon in the fourth and fifth round. So, yeah, I would say that Denise Kjelholz won both time on my card. She wins round 1, 4, and 5. But you really have to wow those judges. Like, you really have to be able to wow those judges. And that's the next thing I'm going to say. Look, as the challenger going into a big title fight like this, a title challenger has four opponents: the champion and the three judges. Okay, you have four people against you that you have to go in there and impress and dominate. You have to cross those T's and dot those I's. I've said that before. You have to wow those judges, and you have to dominate that opponent. You have to shut them down with everything you have. You have to be able to take everything away from the champion to become a champion. You know, you can't just win it off of landing more punches. You have to show the judges something. You have to show work rate. You have to take less damage, you know, because there's always going to be one judge that rates damage over effective kicks or effective strikes. You know, none of these judges are the same. So right down the board, all across the board, you have to wow those judges all the same. Like, they all have different tastes in what they look at, but none of them can deny dominance. None of them can deny a beatdown, and none of them can deny hit and not get hit. You know, that's why if you're going to go for the decision, if you're going to be that points fighter, you have to win on points. You have to shoe shine. You have to wow the judges. You have to dazzle them, and you can't take any hits. It's all about hit and not get hit if you're going to go for the decision. And, you know, I think if Kjelholz had taken away the jab from rounds 2 and 3 and had not got hit with so many jabs and left hands, then I think the judges would have seen it more so her way. And if she wouldn't have missed so many shots as well, because judges look at that. You know, judges look at that because Denise Kjelholz landed a lot of shots, but she missed a lot too. And judges look at that. They say, okay, Velasquez made her miss by a mile like this. That's we're looking at the octagon generalship there. You know, that's points for her. You know, I'm just saying, I'm just calling it how it is. I mean, I think she won, but, you know, me speaking as a fan or an analyst, that's one thing, you know. But the actual judge, what they look for, we all have to agree on this, that there has to be a point where the title challenger has to understand the way these judges work. All three of these judges work different, you know. Sometimes they're going to be looking away, so you have to make sure you're winning every second and every minute of every round, you know. And I know some people continue to say, well, she was robbed. All right, well, but let's put it this way then. Not in the fans' perspective. I know a lot of fans and, you know, analysts, you know, YouTubers, everybody's watching. They say, okay, she won. Okay. Well, let's not look at it in the fans' perspective. Okay, if you were in the fighter's corner, would you be 100% confident that your fighter won after the fifth round? If Denise Kjelholz was the fighter you were cornering, would you feel 100% that she won the fight? Would you be jumping up and down? Would you pick her up and put her on your shoulders before the scorecards are read? Would you feel that comfortable? Answer that question for me. You know, because I've asked that question in a live stream a couple days ago, and, you know, few people said no. They didn't feel that comfortable. You know, some people felt like it was a draw. You know, some people thought it was a draw. You know, I thought that Denise Kilhost did enough to win off of activity, but there was another part of me saying, she's not going to get it. She's not going to get it. You know, because I know that you beat that opponent, but you didn't beat two of these judges here, because some of these judges are going to affect, they're going to look at effective striking. They're going to say, okay, since you got busted up, it's going to go your way. So that's just another part of the game that people have to understand. You know, there's no investigation that needs to be done. This is just how these judges are. You got to know how to beat them. I know it sounds harsh, but that's just how it is. I mean, not everybody's looking at it the way I do, or, you know, the hardcore fans or the guys that are scoring, you know, leg kicks and strikes. I was looking at that. You know, round one, I liked the pressure from Kilhost. She controlled the fight. Velasquez, I like what she did in the meat of the fight in the second and third round, you know, using her jab and counterpunching and using her lateral movement, which I will break down this fight in another episode where I'm just going to do like a short little analysis of every round like I usually do with close fights. So you'll get that later this week, you know, because I want to watch it a third time. I definitely want to watch the fight a third time, man. But yeah, overall, it was a good fight. And, you know, my pick was Denise by decision. And in some ways I was right, because she did win in my eyes, but, you know, according to the judges, she didn't. And a lot of fans feel like she did win, you know. And I think deep down Velasquez knows that Kilhost did enough to win this fight, because I don't think a fighter would bow down, you know, the title holder wouldn't bow down the way she did, you know, at the end of the fight to Kilhost, and just kind of have that look even after round four and five, like, you know, Kilhost was really controlling her. You know, Kilhost really did some effective work and got her respect with that power. Because, you know, Velasquez is big. You know, she's big, long, and strong. I don't know why she never tried to earn that same respect and meet Kilhost in the middle. You know, I don't know why she never tried to take the lead and put the pressure on her, walk Kilhost down, because she had the power. You know, she had the power and the skill set to do it, or take the fight to the ground. You know, I think that she was really tentative a few times because of the power. You know, and that's another thing for Kilhost. This was her chance to take full control. You know, she was walking her down. She needed to cut the octagon off a little bit more and commit to the body in a way that made Velasquez start to pin those elbows to the body to leave the head wide open. You know, because she was landing to the body. She was pecking away at the body and landing some nice leg kicks, but she was never doing enough damage to the body that made her drop her hands. You know, for example, I always mention this fight. Valentina Shevchenko versus Jessica Eye. You know, it was body, body, body. I mean, she was slamming body kicks into Jessica Eye's body, into her body. You know, so when she started dropping those elbows, we knew what was next, right? Head kick, knockout, boom. That was it. You know what I mean? No need for judges. I mean, she set it up pretty. So that was another part of Kilhost's, where I think she just kind of messed up on that part. You know, that was a mess up on her part not to make that one, make those few adjustments in there, you know, because a lot of it was the same, you know, from first round, second and third. She landed a big shot in the fifth round and hurt Velasquez. From there, it should have been, you know, body, 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 then go to the head again. You know what I mean? So I think on their part, that's something they're gonna have to go back and do their homework on. From here, I personally I would like to see a rematch. Yeah, I would definitely like to see a rematch. I think that she did enough to earn it. I think the skill set she's shown was enough to get her that rematch, you know, because Velasquez going into this fight didn't think that this wasn't a different look for her, but this was a different look for sure. You know, Kilhost definitely showed her something that she's never seen before. And I don't think she'll get that from, you know, Alima Leigh McFarlane in the rematch, which she wants, or Liz Carmouche. I do think Liz Carmouche does have the experience and the strength to give Velasquez trouble. And she might possibly beat her, you know. But I would like to see the rematch with Velasquez and Kilhost, because, again, Kilhost did enough to earn a rematch to me. You know, there was a lot of unanswered questions with this fight because nobody ever really took the full-on lead in this fight. It was still kind of 50-50 where they just never really stepped out of the box. Nobody really made that full-on adjustment and leveled up and took over the fight. It just happened to have a winner, though, you know. Similar to, like, Zhang Weili and Joanna. You know, that was a great fight, skill for skill and, you know, blow for blow. But did it really tell us, like, who is full on the best. Like, did anybody ever fully dominate down the stretch and make the right adjustments? Not really. It was just kind of like they were edging each other out, and then it finally came down to what you were looking for. You know what I mean? Some people think Joanna won, some people think Zhang Weili won. You know, the judges, it's just that the judges felt Zhang Weili won the fight, you know. So this rematch has to happen between these two. I really think it does. But yeah, that's my take on it again, though. Shout out to Denise Kjærhus. I think she did enough in there to win the fight. It's just one of those things. You got four opponents, like I said, you know, the champion and those three judges. You got to go in there and master that ability to beat all four. But yeah, man, moving on from here. Oh, yeah, yeah. Also, you know, shout out to Mari Bruneau. I don't want to forget this, you know, because this is, you know, this was her last fight. And also, you know, this is Misha Tate, her big return to the UFC after what, 5 years away. But first, I just wanted to say, you know, shout out to Mari Bruneau. You know, she's had a long career in the sport of MMA, you know, coming into the game at 36 and, you know, being able to stay till she's 44 and just be an inspiration. Like I said in my post fight, you know, I like the fact that, you know, she tries her best to keep that mental and be positive and, you know, just defy what people think about age, you know. And, you know, I will say it was crushing just to see her go out the way she did. I mean, I'm glad that, you know, she wasn't like seriously hurt, but I really did want to see her go out with a bang. You know, I picked Mari Bruneau. I just felt like she was, you know, the more active fighter and she was going to, you know, rise to that occasion. But it's like I said, man, sometimes it's like, you know, when you have that last day of the job, you know, wherever it is, you know, your last day of the job, it's hard to come in and just perform like it was your first or second day at work, or, you know, like the, you know, the prime part of your days at a job. You know what I mean? It's like, it's really hard to find that flame and just go out with that bang, you know. And I think it was a mixture of that and just the fact that Misha Tate came back and looked much more improved than she did 5 years ago, you know. So shout out to Mari Bruneau. She went in there, gave it her all, and I think that, you know, moving on from here, you know, she's going to be moving to, you know, that part of her life that she really wants to be now, you know. Be that teacher, you know, be that mother and that wife, and, you know, she's a photographer as well. And, you know, there's just a lot more going on than fighting at this point. You know, at 44, honestly, I wouldn't want to be fighting at that age anymore. You know, I think that, you know, she has a lot of other things that, you know, that she can still inspire a lot of her fans through. You know, just going back and looking at the fight, you know, I don't think it was the fact that, you know, was anything physically wrong with her, like, oh, you know, it was up in age. I think, yeah, it was just the fact that her body was there, but her mind wasn't there for her to take those shots like she did against Macy Chason, you know, to be able to weather that storm. You know, the heart wasn't there anymore. You know, that fire wasn't there to say, you know, let's push one more time, because maybe it was something telling her, look, if she did win the fight, she might find that urge to go back in there again and again and again, and you don't know what could happen, you know. So this was, you know, this all happened for a reason. It all happened for a reason, you know. So yeah, shout out to Mari Bruneau. Wishing her the best from here on, you know. Hopefully she can corner some fighters. Hopefully we'll see her in the UFC again as maybe a trainer to some other fighters out there, you know. So that would be nice to see. As for Misha Tate, you know, the jury's still out to see what she can do from here. I think she still needs some sharper fights, you know, with some of the fighters that have wins over Mari Bruneau and higher up the ladder. Of course, Yana Konaskaya, that's the name I'm looking at for her. The winner of Aspen Ladd versus Macy Chason. But, you know, I know the one fight that's already being talked about is Holly Holm, which is something I'll talk about in another video. So, you know, that's out on the horizon for her. You know, of course, they're going to be trying to find the quickest way to get her to that title shot, to make that storybook tale of being out 5 years, having kids, going through this and that. Then all of a sudden she gets a title shot, you know. So we want to avoid that. We want to avoid that right now, because a person's well-being and making sure they're ready for a fight is what they need to prepare for right now. So you need to make sure that you get the right fights before you just jump right in there against, you know, a fighter that stopped you in one round. I'm talking about Amanda Nunes at this point. But right now, I need to see a little bit more from her, you know, against somebody sharper. Of course, Miesha Tate did look sharp. She looked strong, you know, physically strong. Her wrestling looked better. Her fluidity on her feet, you know, her jab. You know, her jab definitely looked sharper in this fight. You know, me as a fan of the jab, I like what I saw from her striking. You know, I need to see it against a higher level opponent, just like the rest of us do. But yeah, shout out to Marion Renault again, and yeah, we'll see what's next for Miesha Tate. So yeah, next topic. Let's talk Amanda Lemos a little bit. Amanda Lemos versus Montserrat Ruiz. This was the 500th fight for women's MMA in the UFC since 2013. That's impressive. You know, shout out to the UFC and shout out to all the women in mixed martial arts in the UFC. I mean, 500 fights. This was the 500th fight. I was like, wow, has it been that many fights now? Have we seen that many fights? I mean, wow, I mean, that's crazy. Very first fight was what? Ronda Rousey versus Liz Carmouche. Yeah, I think that was the very first fight for women's MMA in the UFC. Yep, that was. But yeah, man, this fight between Amanda Lemos and Montserrat Ruiz, just another reason why Amanda Lemos is a deadly force at 115. In some ways, this fight was a good showing of that, but at the same time, it was kind of a mismatch too. You know, kind of like Manon Fiora versus Tabitha Ricci. It wasn't like the best showcase on why she'll be, she could possibly be a threat to the champion or in the top five, but she's definitely deadly force in the overall picture of the 115 pound division. You know what I mean? Because she knocked out a fighter that didn't really need to be in there with her. You know, Montserrat Ruiz is her second fight in the UFC. I've said this before, she should be fighting somebody like Kay Hansen, Corey McKenna, Loma Labutny, Jenny Frey, some of those fighters, you know, just to build kind of a track record. Amanda Lemos at this point in her career deserves a top 10 opponent, you know, which word is, you know, two fighters ducked her, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But the fight pretty much was going the way I felt it was going to go. You know, Amanda Lemos couldn't miss. She couldn't miss with the kick. She couldn't miss with the left hand. She couldn't miss with the right hand. I predicted like a first or second round stoppage. Do I think this stoppage was premature? I do. Do I think she was going to get knocked out? Of course. You know, shout out to Ruiz. I mean, I'm not trying to knock her. I just know that, you know, putting these two type of styles together with a hard punch like Lemos spells knockout, you know. Yeah, it was a bit premature to me. I already broke it down in the live stream last night. But like I said, I'm not going to go over it again. You agree with me or disagree with me on why I think it was premature at this point. But overall, I think that Amanda Lemos really has been developing in each fight. You know, she's really growing as far as her delivery, her power, you know, the way she positions her feet, you know, and the balls of her feet and her legs. I mean, look at her legs, like massive, like that's where she generates that power from. She generates power from the legs and the waist. And then she makes then it's all about turning over the punches right then. You know, then she's also, you know, connecting that precision punching together. That's why she's one of the hardest hitters today in the strawweight division, you know, next to Marina Rodriguez. Amanda Lemos, I think the more and more she puts, you know, her striking, her stand-up, and her ground game together, her clinch work together, you will see her, you know, giving some trouble to the top five or possibly the top three. Sometime maybe in 2022, we might see her as a title challenger, you know, if they keep her active. You know, she wanted to stay active this year. That's why she took this fight right off top. I mean, she asked for a top 10 fighter, but the latest they could give her was something like October. But she was like, no, I want to fight now. Give me somebody. So they gave her Montserrat Ruiz, and she took it. But from here, she wants a top name. You know, and I think her manager was a little, he was a little instigating a little bit. You know, he was overplaying it. You know, he was exaggerating some, you know, the way he was breaking it down. But he said that two fighters turned down the fight. They were avoiding the fight with Amanda Lemos, and the name Tisha Torres came up, and she said the other name she couldn't remember at the moment, but I'm sure her manager knows. But I think Tisha Torres, I'm not sure if she was like ducking her because of that. I think maybe Tisha Torres was more so in the mindset of high risk, low reward, And, you know, Tisha Torres is number 10, and she's probably looking for a top 10 opponent. Like, she wants somebody above her, you know, which I can make that argument for. But she did take the Angela Hill fight. You know, Angela Hill's two spots below her. So taking a rematch with Angela Hill, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know. Yeah, overall, I think Amanda Lemos, she's definitely going to be a threat at some point if she can stay active and just continue to put it together. And like somebody in one of my videos live stream said, you know, they need to see more from her in the ground game department. Yeah, you know, I definitely must see more of her jiu-jitsu. I want to see more of her wrestling, and I want to see somebody bring that out of her, you know, where she really has to use her takedown defense as well. I think that a good opponent for her would be Claudia Gadelha. You know, I want to see her in there with somebody like Claudia Gadelha. Maybe Carla Esparza, if Carla Esparza never gets her title shot. You know, but that would be kind of messed up to make Carla have to fight that far down. But, yeah, somebody like Claudia Gadelha right now would be a good opponent for her. And maybe the winner of Eboz versus Jandaroba at some point. But Claudia would be the one on the map for me. And Michelle Waterson. You know, Michelle Waterson has a decent ground game, and that's a high... you know, that's a higher ranked name for her as well. So give her either of those names. Those would be good fights for her. But I like what I'm seeing from Amanda Lemos right now, man. I really like the technique and the way she's able to dictate the pace in the fight, even against somebody like Ruiz, who's used to coming forward. You know, she put the offense together and just, you know, tore her down and got her out of there, you know. But, yeah, man, let me know in the comment section what y'all think. You know, Amanda Lemos needs next. She's definitely a force. You know, more videos talking about Amanda Lemos are coming, you know, because we need to see some new blood in this strawweight division, you know, and I think she's part of that. You know, she's similar to the triple threat I have in the flyweight division all alone. That's how dangerous she is. She needs that top 10 opponent now, man. Oh, yeah, one more thing. How soon do you think she can be at the top? That was something I wanted to talk about. I think Amanda Lemos, like I said, the more and more we see levels from her, and the more some of these opponents can bring that can she's put in there with opponents that can bring it out of her, like a Claudia Gadelha, Michelle Waterson. I think we could see her in the top five or top six. I will probably say in the spring of 2022. Yeah, let's put that date on. I think 2022 we'll see her. Somewhere around like five or six. Yeah, that's probably where we'll see her next. But yeah, I think Amanda Lemos versus Marina Rodriguez would be a good fight. That's just a name I'm throwing out there. But yeah, let's move on here real quick. Zhang Weili versus Joanna, the rematch. I'll be quick on this one because, you know, I just wanted to kind of put this out here again in this podcast and let y'all know how I feel about the rematch. You know, just seeing these two back in the gym and training hard and really sharpening up and trying to, you know, make new adjustments in their game plan, especially Zhang Weili, you know, working on her left hook, working on her offense and her stance and her boxing and her ground game, you know, just seeing all of that. And then just seeing Joanna back in the gym, you know, hitting the pads and training hard. Both of these fighters are training, and then you have Rose Namajunas waiting to lock it in with whoever. You know, I know everybody wants it to be Carla Esparza, so hopefully that's being negotiated while that's being worked out. And Marina Rodriguez and Mackenzie Dern are locked in to fight in October, and Yan Zhana, she's just kind of out of the mix after losing to Carla Esparza. I mean what makes more sense now than Zhang Weili and Joanna running it back, right? I mean, they're both training hard. Like, maybe they're in talks. Are they in talks to make this fight now? You think Dana White is trying to get these two back in? Or do you think that since he sees them going at it, you know, going hard in the gym, that he might say, you know, let's go ahead and get Carla in there with Rose, and let's have these two fight it out for the next title shot, you know? Now, if he's thinking that way, hell yeah, that's smart. You know, let's go ahead and see that fight. You know, let's go ahead and see Zhang Weili and Joanna run it back, since they're both in the gym and they're working it out. They're you know, like I said, they're putting everything together again, trying to improve. And, you know, Joanna has one more fight under her contract. I mean, she might extend it if she gets this fight. And, you know, if she wins, she'll get a title shot. So she might extend it out there, you know. So, yeah, I think this fight would make sense. You know, I think it makes sense. You know, it's the number one and number two. and they're both working it out right now. You know, they're both in the gym training. So, yeah, let's make it happen. And with these two back in the gym and with Zhang Weili making these improvements, the next thing I just wanted to say is, look, I want to see this fight because I want to see who's made the most improvements in their game. And I want to see if Joanna is still really a big threat like she used to be, or even half of that, or even 75 to 85%. I want to see if she is a little bit of that. And with that being said, I'm not really looking to see this rematch to be the barn burner that the first one was. I'm not looking to see another fight of the night. They already gave us that. You know, they already gave us one of the best fights in women's MMA history. You know, they've already done that once. No need to do it again. You know, Joanna already put her head on the line once. So why not make this fight more so of a chess match, or let's see who can make the better adjustments and make it dominant on either side. You know, I want to see who can go back to the drawing board and say, I can figure this person out and I can shut him down and I can fight to win and fight to dominate, not just fight to put on a fight of the night and get another trophy. You know, I'm looking to see both fighters not just take chances, but, you know, go in there and try to take weapons away from their opponent. You know, I want to see Zhang Weili this time around take away the jab, take away the volume punching, you know, make Joanna respect her, you know, take away the leg kicks with counter kicks to the body or something. I want to see Joanna take away that in and out style of Zhang Weili. I want to see her neutralize her ground game, you know, similar to the first fight. There were moments of that. You know, I want to see somebody in this fight take the lead and take somebody apart. You know, I just want to see improvements this time. I want to see more of a chess match. I know MMA fans aren't going to agree with me on this one, but I think that with the winner being able to do that this time around, then we could comfortably say that this person deserves that title shot. You know, and there'll be no arguments. There'll be no back and forth on who won the fight, or this is a robbery, or, oh man, I did enough to win the fight, let's run it back again. No, I want to see somebody go in there and be dominant. You know, that's what's needed in the game. You know, we really need to see more fighters being, you know, taking this thing seriously, you know, on the elite level, saying, look, we're not here to just put on fights of the night. You know, we're here to put on performances that can get us the title shot and push us where we need to be. You know, for somebody like Zhang Weili coming off of a knockout loss to Rose Namajunas, she has to go into this fight with Joanna. She has to go into this fight with Joanna if this rematch happens, and she has to make it look one-sided. Because if she comes out with another fight of the night and gets beat up, people will say she's lost a step, or she's gonna, you know, take years off of her fighting career, or they're gonna say, oh man, if she's still got this type of defense, Rose is gonna knock her out again, which might very well be true. You know, so if Zhang Weili goes in here with Joanna and trades with Joanna again, gets beat up, goes blow for blow with her, and still comes out the winner, you know, and she edges it out and shows us the same thing, then people aren't going to see a rematch with Rose Namajunas. They're not going to want to see it with Rose, because they're going to say, okay, Rose is going to land the powerful shots and knock her out. You know, so we need to see improvements from Zhang Weili. I know styles make fights, but Joanna was hitting Zhang Weili with the same punches that Rose can hit her with. You know, I mean, Rose just is a little bit more of a precision hitter and more heavy-handed, so they'll get Zhang Weili out of there fast, right? So yeah, that's another reason why I want to see these two throw down in a rematch, because with them both being at the top, somebody has to stand out of the two, you know, and I just don't want to see another fight of the night, you know. But yeah, man, last topic though in this episode, this fight here I'm really looking forward to, Miranda Maverick versus Macy Barber. Both fighters really need this fight, especially Macy coming off of two fight losing streak to Roxanne, then a year off, then getting dominated by Alexa Grasso. Miranda Maverick right now, you know, she's in a better place. You know, wins over Leanna Jojua and Jillian Robertson. This is her third fight in the UFC, and she's been looking better and better. You know, and going into this fight, I could see this fight being more so like a strength versus power, and IQ versus killer. You know, Miranda being the strong, smart fighter, and Macy being that powerful killer in here. You know, I think both fighters have something that can nullify the other. You know, for somebody like Miranda Maverick, it's smart for her to go ahead from the jump and use her strength and, you know, fight the smart fight. You know, don't fight that fighter's fight. You know, don't go toe to toe with that fighter. You know, expose their weaknesses early. You know, whereas Macy Barber, she's going to have to go in there and try to kill. You know, she's got to be that tactical fighter that can set up punches and not just be a wild slinger, you know, wild swinger in there. You know, so I think all around it's just going to be one of these interesting fights here where it's going to come down to Miranda Maverick just being the ground fighter here and even showcasing a little bit of her striking. Like, she can showcase her striking and without going toe-to-toe and, you know, and still, you know, outpointing Macy Barber. That's the thing people don't understand. Like, Macy Barber, you know, she has good punch placement, you know, with her knockout power. You know, that's why she gets her those knockouts. She has very good punch placement. You know, she has power in both hands, but she doesn't really have the footwork. You know, the footwork can be taken away. Alexa Grasso, she was able to take it away. I think Miranda Maverick, she definitely has decent footwork, you know, in that southpaw stance. You know, she made the adjustments on the fly against Leanna Jojua. I mean, she took a few shots in there, but she was able to dip out at an angle, and she started taking away the right hand by throwing body kicks. So on the fly, she does make adjustments. That's the thing about Miranda Maverick that definitely makes her the favorite in this fight. You know, she knows how to pick her shots. She can adjust on the fly, like I said, and, you know, find out what works and take away her opponent's strength. So this fight is definitely a big fight for the flyweight division because it's definitely going to decide who moves up a few more spaces and who's going to possibly get into that top 10. You know, will Macy Barber re-enter into the top 10, or is Miranda Maverick going to make it in there? You know, so a lot riding on this fight here, and I'm going to have to talk about it more in my breakdown prediction. But yeah, I just wanted to bring up those different angles here because there's a lot of people think I'm overhyping Miranda Maverick still. And they think that, you know, she doesn't have the tools to be a top 10 fighter. But this is coming from people who are not looking at IQ. You know, this is coming from people who want to see knockouts. They just want to see people just hit the ground and just submit people. I mean, all of that takes some type of intelligence. But, you know, fighting on the fly and figuring fighters out, you know, that takes a special type of fighter, you know, that octagon IQ, knowing the pace to fight at, knowing how to fight that person, knowing how not to fight that person's fight and just take them apart, knowing how to take away their weapons. You know, I think that takes special fighters. And I think Miranda Maverick, for the level she's on right now, she's definitely a promising fighter. You know, I've seen it in Invicta. I've seen it wherever she's fought. You know, she's always kind of shown a level of smarts. You know, even in her losses or even like in the rounds she has lost, she's always learned from those mistakes. And I think that going into this fight here, she's going to show you that, look, I made improvements from my last fight. You know, I'm not the same fighter I was against Jillian Robertson, not the same fighter against Leanna Jojua. She's going to be a different fighter. And you definitely got to be against Macy Barber. You know, you definitely got to be against Macy Barber. And shout out to Macy Barber, you know, because she's a killer. You know, she likes to fight. One thing about Macy Barber is she carries that energy. You know, both her and Miranda carry that energy like they like to fight. And they'll fight anybody. You know, there's no ducking in them. You know, they'll take on anybody. You know, Macy Barber, you know, even when she's down, she's dangerous. You know, that's why going into this fight for Miranda Maverick is a dangerous fight. You know, because even when you outclass for one and two, just know that round three, she's going to try to close the show. You know, whenever she's down, you know, something snaps in her. You know, something snaps in her where she's going to really come after you and she wants to take you out of there. So taking on somebody like Macy Barber, you got to dominate or you got to stop her. You know, you got to stop her. I think Macy, she's definitely going to be making some improvements here. She's been looking a little bit sharper as far as her weight and everything. You know, she's been looking a little bit more like she's in better shape now. So you might see her being a little bit more smoother on her feet, a little bit more fluid. You know, hopefully the legs are good. But yeah, she's definitely a dangerous fighter. Definitely a dangerous fighter that is always staying in it. And you can't count her out until the end of that third round, you know, if she's made it that far. But yeah, man, definitely a fight I'm looking forward to. We'll talk more about it, you know, on the channel. And like I said, I will drop my prediction this week, probably tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, guys. But yeah, that's pretty much all I got on this episode. And oh yeah, I definitely want to talk about Pam Bam Sorensen. Shout out to Pam Bam Sorensen. She has just been signed to Bellator. and she's entering those featherweight rankings. You know, like I said, Amanda Bell was out, so they're probably going to get Pam Bam Swartz in it. You know, about time somebody picked her up. The UFC's been slacking. She's got to get back in there, man. She's one of the best technical featherweights out there. So, yeah, shout out to Pam Bam Swartz, and we'll talk more about that later, though, guys. But, yeah, that's all I got on this episode. Let me know in the comment section about everything I talked about today, man. The Velasquez-Kilholtz fight, we talked about that a lot. And what else? Amanda Lemos, where she stands right now. Whaley versus Joanna, what you think of that fight? Miranda Maverick versus Macy Barber. Who do you got? Who do you got? Early pick. Go ahead and give me an early pick in this episode at the bottom. In the comment section, guys. But yeah, make sure y'all subscribe to the show. So iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and I think Google Play is gone now, right? I think Google Play is gone. So I think it's on YouTube Music now. I think, you know, if they switched us all our podcasts over there now. But yeah, you can definitely check us out, Stitcher, Spotify, and iTunes. And gonna put it on iHeartRadio and everything else, and you know, some other platforms as well in the future. So I'll be on the lookout for that, guys. But yeah, make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel, Combo Breaker 99. That's where the episodes will also be. That's where they always are, guys. But yeah, like always, thanks to our new subscribers. Make sure y'all keep subscribing and stay subscribed. I'm out. Peace.